Many New Zealanders have helped Ukraine through donations to a variety of aid organisations, and a month ago we spoke to Mike Seawright, who was in Kiev at the time. The interest you had in what Mike's doing and his backstory was evident in our downloads. Mike's the man who was once an investment banker with a yacht. He said the yacht has gone and he discovered a new purpose in his life. He founded the charity Relief Aid, run by hardworking volunteers here and staff overseas. And it's been present and helping in most of the major conflict and natural disaster situations we can think of over the past few years. It was set up originally to look after families affected by the war in Syria with food and shelter and medicines. And Syria was where Mike was heading again when the Russians invaded. Hello, Mike. Good to talk to you again.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Very well. You've just gone back into Ukraine, I think.
Yes, I had a bit of a decompression break seeing the family, and I just arrived back into Ukraine yesterday from Poland.
Okay. And the last time you and I talked about what you'd seen, for example, you know, the horror on the ground in Bucha, where I think you were pretty much first on the scene to help the survivors of that massacre. Where is your focus now in Ukraine?
So we've identified key areas, places where families are in desperate need of help, and we're just running our trucks and our medical supplies and shelter supplies up to these areas now.
So I presume you're getting reasonable access now. What are you managing to deliver to people?
Well, if we look at the Bucha-Irpin area, the houses there have been completely destroyed by the fighting. The journey that I went through Bucha itself was an hour of utter devastation. Tank turrets inside front doors of houses just blowing off. Musical kits, drum kits, I should say, hanging from windows as blasted walls have been taken out on the sides of houses. So these areas are in desperate need of shelter support, repairing homes, blankets to keep people warm at night, and of course, hospitals in desperate need of medical supplies. The needs here, Jim, are absolutely massive. There's obviously the population that have been forced across the border into wider Europe and the rest of the world, but within Ukraine itself, there are millions of people that are in desperate need of humanitarian support. The scale is enormous, but I guess we're faced with this in other conflict zones. And what we see is if we act, we can help one family and one family leads to another. We've just received last night, actually, a shipment of medical supplies flowing in from Canada. We're now going to move those across the border into Ukraine. Canada providing medical supplies and Relief Aid's team on the ground here getting it out to hospitals who need it.
Can you tell us how this works and how you manage to leverage donations so you can achieve deliveries on this scale? It comes from creating relationships with other aid agencies over the years, all the years you've been operating, I think.
Absolutely, Jim. The thing that we've managed to do across our aid interventions in places like Afghanistan, Syria, and now Ukraine is leverage New Zealand financial support, donor support, with other organisations who have large access to, in this case, medical supplies. So what we need is we need the funds to move the trucks, to set up the warehouses, to organise the teams, to get it out to hospitals and to families if we're talking about shelter.
One of the people helping you on the ground, a man named Sergei, says Ukrainians are united and act like ants. Each of us is doing the necessary small work to ensure our survival. So that's it, really, the power of plenty of pairs of hands and brave hearts, Mike.
Well, this is made even more incredible by the fact that they themselves, our own staff, like Sergei, are actually displaced. They're not living in their own homes. They've been forced away from where they live, forced away from where they know, including away from their families who are, in many cases, are now in other parts of the world, across the border out of Ukraine. And here they are dedicating their time and their service to helping their fellow people. It's absolutely incredible.
I was reading he sleeps in his bathroom every night with his cat and dog. Yeah. To make sure he complies with the regulations to have two walls between himself and doors and windows that would blow out with a missile strike. That's how he sleeps.
Can you imagine doing this at home, Jim? You know, we go to bed not knowing if we will wake up in the night and having to sleep on a hard toilet floor. And yet the next day he gets up, we have meetings with him, we go out, we visit Butcher, we deliver aid. This is all in the course of Sergei sleeping on the floor. These people, our team and other Ukrainians like him, are absolutely incredible.
I know New Zealanders are giving generously to a variety of aid organisations, which is fantastic. I see with you this past week, sales of pizzas in Dunedin, ginger nuts in Taranaki, someone selling flags in Wellington, art in Hawke's Bay. So all those little donations make a difference at the middle, right at the middle of this war.
It's humbling to see how New Zealand has got in behind, let's forget relief aid. We've been very lucky to receive great support from across New Zealand. But more importantly, it's humbling to see them getting behind Ukraine and the families of Ukraine. New Zealand sits at the bottom of the world, half a world away from Ukraine, and yet everyday Kiwis are dedicating their weekends, their evenings, their time, and in many cases their money to help families in Ukraine. This is absolutely amazing, and we feel united with New Zealanders and the people of Ukraine to get this out, this assistance out to families here.
Yeah, that must help keep you going as well. Because the dangers are always present for you still, aren't they, Mike?
Our teams are subject to missile strikes. We were talking about Sergei just before one of our calls the other day. You could hear the missiles fly over his home. This is a place that we ourselves visit and are working. And this is really challenging when you're talking about checkpoints, random missile strikes, regular artillery rounds into housing areas, and targeted destruction, in some cases, of humanitarian actors.
Yeah, it's very hard for us, as you say, at the other end of the world, to imagine what that would be like, but it is absolutely horrific. So how far into the east are you able to get at the moment?
We're operating very close to the likes of Mariupol, so we're setting up support to collective centres in the south of the country. This is literally just one step back from the cities that are being heavily bombed with the new Eastern Offensive and Southern Offensive. So we're able to access areas that many others are unable to go. But it's challenging. We're having conversations every day about what an acceptable risk is and trying to evaluate what is a very fluid situation in terms of the progression of the war. It's changing every day. You've got to keep your eyes and your ears to the ground at all times.
Yes. Well, you're going out with those trucks as well. So are you looking after yourself?
We're just doing the best we can to keep ourselves and myself, in this case, safe as we travel. It's managed risk, I guess, is the way to describe it. But as you can imagine, it's a war zone, so it's not without risk. I mean, there are good and bad days doing this work. As you mentioned, Jim, it's highly motivating. It's inspiring, in fact, to see New Zealanders digging deep to help the people of Ukraine. But we do get thanks and we do get smiles from the people that we help. And frankly, that helps us deal with the challenges and the pressure of working in these environments. Yeah, we are lucky to see the results of our work and it helps us continue.
Very good to talk with you again. Stay safe, you and your team. Congratulations on your efforts, Mike. It's good to have had a catch up.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Have a great day.